I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we're going to talk about Martha Place, the very first woman who died in the electric chair. That should excite you, Brandy.
It does, to no end.
She broke the glass ceiling, Timmy.
There it was.
She did.
She should be a feminist icon, Timmy.
Yeah, it's so sad that she's been lost to history. But we're going to talk about it. And before we get started, though, I should remind everyone we're a comedy podcast. We aspire to be a comedy podcast. We might have a lot of people disagree with that description of us. But as such, we sometimes use adult language. Now, that might offend people out there. Some people don't like adult language. Some people are offended by adult language.
Oh, my God.
But sometimes we use adult language.
Dude.
So if that's not your thing, what should they do, Colonel?
Well, they should just go fuck themselves, Timmy.
Exactly. So listen to one of the other fine podcasts out there where they don't use adult language. Nina doesn't use adult language on her podcast, but we do because we have Brandy, and that's okay. We're not going to give up Brandy. We would rather have the adult language, although I've never really thought it.
Maybe. Brandy brings
come
a little bit of baggage with her, Timmy.
Come back to us, Timmy. You took a weird left there. Why don't you come on back?
Okay. I got it. All right. So, let me introduce our panel. We're joined, of course, as always, by very lovely and talented, a woman who is known as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm fine. It's getting ready to storm here. I don't know about you guys, but it's getting ready to storm, and I got to go into work in a little bit, and so it's all very exciting here.
It sounds like it. I like rain. I'm pro rain.
I am pro storm and pro rain, but not when I have to drive in it. So hopefully before it really starts coming down, I'll be at work.
Well, I hope so too. I hope you don't get wet.
Nothing.
Nothing worse than going to work wet. Like when
that's true.
When I graduated college and I moved here to Cincinnati, I refused to use an umbrella because, it wasn't a manly thing.
And right. After, I'm sure that was the reason. Yeah.
After coming back to work from lunch, like 4 days in a row where I got soaked, I started using an umbrella. I changed my perspective.
Well now nice. you're married to a Brit, and don't they carry umbrellas with them all the time, Timmy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's always raining.
And you know what? They also say tally-ho. Tally-ho a lot.
Tally-ho. Tally-ho. I'm going to start saying tally-ho to people.
You should.
Tally-ho.
Bring it back, Colonel.
Why would you tally-ho? Yeah.
Tally-slut.
What ho?
Yeah. Although Leanne is
the same ring.
Tally-ho.
Leanne insists
the same thing.
Leanne insists that they don't all say tally-ho over there, but
I think you've convinced yourself you do. They do. Okay, yeah. That's perfect. All right, let's introduce Chuck. We're gonna have a goal today to just kind of keep it moving forward.
He's a best-selling author.
No, he's not.
He is.
He'll tell you some of his new exciting ventures when I introduce him. But best-selling author, a man we turn to in these troubled times, when there's tragedies in the world, when there's volcanoes, hurricanes.
Right. We know what troubled times are. Keep it moving.
Plagues,
forward.
Pestilence, whatever.
Incontinence, yeah.
Listen, I have found the Charles equivalent on Twitter. And he's fucking... Well, first of all, the guy's name is 3-Year Letterman. And his... And it's a parody account.
He didn't letter his fourth year?
Well, it's a parody account.
Oh.
But this guy goes through and says just the most ridiculous shit, talking about how, you know, when Abraham Lincoln wrote the First Amendment, he did not, you know, consider that somebody, whatever. He says this ridiculous shit, gets everybody fired up. And most people know. But anyway, he is currently putting out chapters of his new book on there, talking about how to be a little league coaching legend or whatever it is. And Charles would actually really like it because it is, like I said,
actually,
it's going to be a chapter book on bullshit. So it's a lot like Chuck's book.
I think he's trying to emulate Charles.
I don't think he's ever heard of Charles. So
he might be writing about me, Devil, yeah. Because I am, in fact, a little league coaching legend.
I know, but he's not. But you should really look it up because it's funny. But just introduce Chuck so we can get going.
He is a man who has been considered an oasis in the desert of despair.
No.
He has open sexuality to women all over the country with his new book.
Gross.
How to Make Love to a Woman.
The very honorable, the reverend, the best-selling author. Colonel Charles Beauregard, Hawk Waters III. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Timmy. I'm a little...
You're officially known as the Southern Gentleman. Sorry, Colonel.
No.
I'm and the moral compass of the show, Timmy.
No.
I forgot that
part. I can see that, Colonel.
Yeah. I'm doing well, Timmy. I'm working on some another book. I'll let you know the title of that right now. When I get further into it, I've been getting a lot of scripts from Hollywood.
Oh yeah,
you're getting scripts from Hollywood. Crazy old white guy that gets kicked out of Kroger and makes cashiers cry? Yeah, is it that guy? Is that the book?
She had it coming, even though the customers said she had it coming.
Oh, okay.
All
right.
So anyway. I'm working on that, and I keep getting these scripts. The whole Marvel thing.
Yeah.
You know, they've...
Oh, fuck.
Well, first of all, they want to make a new superhero and have it be the Colonel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
but I don't want to do that. I think it's a trope that's just been done too many times.
It's a trope. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and unless Brad Pitt's available, I'm not interested.
I thought they might, you know, dump Robert Downey Jr. and make you Iron Man.
Iron Man is dead. What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Or maybe not Iron Man. I don't know, some other element.
No.
And then if it's not a superhero, Timmy... Then they've got to go to remakes. They try to do reboots with a different, Danny, toss me a couple of those scripts over here, could you?
Oh, my God.
That's your assistant, personal assistant, Danny.
Can we talk about Martha? I want to talk about Martha.
We're going to give a shout out to Danny.
Danny, thank you, Danny.
Danny, who doesn't exist.
I'll just give you a couple here that I've gotten, but Scent of a Colonel. You remember the old Al Pacino movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That'd be a classic remake, Colonel.
Butterscotch. Yeah. That's the scent of a colonel.
yeah. A few good colonels.
A few good colonels, yeah.
You wouldn't be in that one. Colonel Sanders.
Dude, where's my colonel?
Nobody's looking for you.
Silence of the Colonel.
Yeah.
That one I would see. That's the one.
This is just a sampling.
I would see that one. I'm showing up on the red fucking carpet in a fucking dress to see Silence of the Colonel. Yes.
Colonel, what about that great antebellum movie, Gone with the Colonel?
Gone with the Colonel, Timmy.
Yeah. I can see that one.
Are you playing Scarlett O'Hara?
Frankly, my dear, I would see that's for a little dick.
Well, you don't say that. You say fiddle-dee-dee all the time.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
Not like that, though.
But the one there's two that have really kind of caught my eye.
Okay.
12 Angry Colonels, Timmy.
I can see you in that. Yeah, that role. You maybe had the Jack Klugman role.
If it takes place in a Kroger store.
yeah, it does. You know, in the frozen meat section.
You know that exactly. Jack Klugman played in the original.
Ed Asner too.
Yeah. What was that movie? What was that TV show that Jack Klugman was on?
Where
he
was, Odd Couple.
Where he was the corner.
Quincy.
And they always had that the med students passing out at the beginning of the show when he takes the sheet off the corpse.
And then the last one that I'm thinking about, to me, is Colonel of Arabia.
I like that.
Yeah.
See you out in the desert.
On a camel.
By the way, did you know that song Midnight at the Oasis was about sex?
No.
With a camel?
Yeah.
Gross.
Midnight at the Oasis. Bring your camel to bed.
That's the part I never got.
Is that about bestiality, Timmy? Bring your camel to bed.
I don't think that it's about sleeping with a camel.
Or maybe it was put your camel to bed. I'm not really sure. It was either bring your camel to bed or put your camel. Those are two completely different things.
You know, the other thing is Band of Gold was about a guy who couldn't get hard.
What?
Which one?
Band of Gold.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's very sad. It's about their wedding night. It's terrible.
That was before Viagra.
Band of Gold. Who wrote that?
Band of Gold. I don't remember.
Have Danny look that up. All that's Danny, left is a band of gold. Love me like you tried
that's
before.
Left is a band of gold.
Yeah. All right. Can we talk about Martha Place?
I didn't know that was about erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, it is. Ooh. Yeah, you know.
It was. There is a version that Bob Dole sings.
yeah. You know, that night on our honeymoon, you know, love me like you tried before.
Yeah, it's a bad scene all the way around. Doesn't he leave her?
I think so, because I guess, that was before Viagra, so.
Yeah.
Are we still talking about Band of Gold?
Yeah.
Yes, I think he leaves her in the song.
Yeah.
But what I'd love to do is talk about Martha Place.
We can do that, Randy, if you insist.
I do insist, actually.
On March 20th, 1899, that's about time Brandy was born.
A couple years off.
An unusual execution took place at Sing Sing Prison. Wonder why they named it twice, Colonel. Why not just Sing Prison?
Wasn't it named after a panda?
I think it was named after someone. That's where they put you when you couldn't sing very well, and you sung in public, and they arrest you and put you in Sing 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 prison.
I don't think that was it. I think it was named after a panda, but go ahead.
Well, it was.
It's actually in Ossining, New York.
Oh, really?
So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, an unusual execution took place there on March 20th, 1899. It was a cool spring day. 11 men had been executed by the electric chair in the state of New York. But on that day, it was a woman who entered the execution chamber, a convicted murderer named Martha Place. Now, Brandy, don't get confused. This is not Mary Kay Place, who used to play on Mary Hartman.
You know what? Thank you for that, because I'd never seen that show. So now I won't mix them up.
That was a great show, wasn't it? Colonel, you've watched it, right?
I have watched it. Just for our listeners,
Billy Crystal got his start on that show.
I thought he got his start
just
on
for our
Soap.
Listeners.
Yeah, but Soap was
Sing
a spin-off
Sing Prison.
Of Mary Hartman.
In Ossining. And the name Sing Sing is actually a disambiguation to me of the name.
I like it.
Disambiguation.
I like it, Colonel.
I'm going with the panda.
That means when you take one word and shorten it down and turn it into a completely different word.
See, I learn it something every new, Colonel. And
the more you
know,
Timmy.
Uh-huh.
Although many at the time were said, I made that up about Soap being a spinoff from Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. I don't know, but I do remember Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. It came on 11 o'clock, and you know they made them put it on 11 o'clock because it had adult themes. So you know I was like 12,
right.
And I thought maybe if I stay up and watch it, I might get to see a boob or something.
You see some boobies.
Yeah, yeah. Never happened. It's like when Colonel, when HBO first came out, if you didn't subscribe to it, you couldn't see it, of course,
static.
But you could listen to it, and you could see like
it'd
images.
Be all blurry.
Yeah, real blurry. Mm-hmm. So I'd stay up late and watch movies, hoping to see a boob.
Because all you really need to see is the nipple, Timmy.
Yeah.
I mean, a blurry thing. No, part of it would be real clear and the other part would be real blurry. It would be like jumbled throughout like a jigsaw puzzle where the pieces were mixed up.
So
it was clear.
Porn looks like.
But it was, but so you'd see the occasional, you know, areola.
Yeah.
And it was exciting for a 13-year-old.
Yeah. You know, my mom.
Exciting now, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, back in the day, they had these true crime detective magazines.
Oh yeah,
and they
women
all,
always tied up.
Yeah,
to a
there's
chair.
Always this bondage scene on the cover of it. But you know,
yes,
you couldn't
really
see the nibble
low-cut
because they
dress
had these
on.
Little black. You know, it's black. We got a little black stripe on the nibble, so you couldn't see it. But
so
yeah, it was always some
old. You guys are so old.
But you knew it was there.
Yeah, and True Confession magazines. You remember those, Colonel?
Oh yeah.
You know
some
what?
Some of them were pretty hot.
I'm getting ready to take this shit over.
Although many at the time were satisfied, were satisfied that Martha's Place sentence matched her crime, it posed some problems for her executioners. Used to dealing with only men, they weren't sure how to work around Martha's long, thick hair or how to protect her modesty while attaching electrodes to her ankle.
That's very important.
So they're gonna fry her, but they want to protect her modesty.
Exactly.
And why wouldn't a woman get a head shaved just like a man does?
I don't know. It was probably the mores at the time.
See, they want equality, Timmy. They want equality, and I think they're just not treating her fairly if they don't shave her head. Plus, who wants to smell all that burning hair?
Well, now, Colonel, this is where you usually talk about them packing.
Well, they do.
I mean,
when they
thank
get
God
when you get the electric chair and they
time.
Hang you, they do traditionally pack the rectum with cotton.
We know.
Because the person that has to deal with the body doesn't want to deal with a soiled body. So
they
I
stick
suppose
a
with her.
In their butt.
Yes, with her, they'd have to. Packer, which Timmy reminds me.
Does it? Does it remind you of something?
It
honestly.
It does remind me of something.
How?
Because we're talking about women. Women trailblazers, devil.
Oh my God. And we're not talking about anything right now. We're fucking around. We're not talking about jack shit. So I don't know how you have something that this reminds you of. I don't know how it happens.
Yeah, it's, Colonel. What's it remind you of, Colonel?
It's a woman trailblazer.
Oh my God.
Yes. An important one, really, because without her, Timmy.
Yeah.
Really, porn would never, ever be the same. Danny, look her up for me. Her name was
Lola.
Francine.
She was
Boom
showgirl.
Boom Gruber, Timmy.
What was her name?
Franny. Boom Boom Gruber.
Okay.
Franny
and
Gruber.
She was a trailblazer because in 1946, Timmy, do you know what she did?
What did she do, Colonel?
She filmed the first double penetration scene.
Wow, that is that's
yes,
a trailblazer, Brandy.
Well, thank God now we all have that tidbit of bullshit.
She
Can
did
we
the
talk
DP.
About something
she
else
did the
now?
DP.
I'm and I can't thank her enough for it, I guess.
But you know, but here's the thing about that double penetration stuff.
Is there
you
kind of
have to, you have to have the timing, Colonel. If you're off,
you don't want to touch wieners. You
no,
don't want to
no,
become
no.
Eskimo brothers.
Oh,
no, no,
God.
No.
Well, and here's...
Can we talk about this? Can we talk about Martha?
Here's how it can... Well, like Paul Harvey, devil, there's more to the story.
Okay.
They were doing...
We can talk about her next time.
She was on Harry Gruber doing some, cowgirl stuff.
Yeah.
And then she was doing the split roast on the other guy, but her jaw got sore. And... So this guy felt kind of awkward because they were filming standing around, and he walked up behind her and she went with it, and she started getting, devil, $12 a scene.
Wow.
Because she was capable. $12.
But that's that's only $6 a penis, though.
It is. Now, however,
thanks
this
for the
is
economics
true too,
of it all.
Her porn career ended, though,
tragically.
2 years later.
Tragically.
Tragically, when she was kicked in the head by an angry mule.
Okay, I don't...
I am not making that up.
Okay,
I don't know
that's
how
hilarious.
She was in a field with a mule, but it kicked her in
were
the head.
Were they doing a bestiality scene or something?
I don't
that's
know.
Hilarious.
She might have been just walking around it, but she
because,
got kicked in the head
then
by
her
angry
family's
mule.
Entitled to workman's comp.
They could. Yeah.
Well, thank God she didn't have mesothelioma.
Well, if she was doing it,
there's
what
lawyers,
I can't
you
get
know,
is
Brandy that handles those lawsuits.
I've heard.
If she was going to do something, beguiling with the donkey, why would he kick her in the head?
Martha Gerritsen. I want to talk about her because this...
you know he might not have liked her, Colonel. I mean, I know, but
listen. Have you ever had somebody, Timmy, have you ever had somebody service you and they weren't really doing it all
are
that
you,
well and
you
kicked them in the head?
Are you kidding? We're still doing this?
I mean, sometimes you just have to stop or whatever. You take a break.
I'm going to kick you in the head. I'm going to kick you
but
in the head.
But nary have I ever kicked somebody in the head.
Well, right. that's a cautionary tale, Colonel. Thank
and
you.
And we're
going to
go ahead and wrap up that conversation. Son of a bitch.
Okay, let's talk about the woman who got the juice here.
Okay, Martha Gerritsen. Let's talk about. Martha Gerritsen was born in Orange.
But thank you, Franny.
Yeah, thank you for your service,
thank you.
Franny.
Thank you for your service.
You know, Colonel, I...
No!
You know
no!
That,
he doesn't the, know. He doesn't
you
know.
Know. The three-way is not all it's cracked up to be.
What if...
If your penises touch, you gay forever.
Oh well, I mean, no, not the that's completely out, man. You know, two guys and that's completely out. But like, even with a guy and two women, there's just so many limbs.
There's so many boobs, Timmy. So
yeah.
many boobs.
Yeah, I mean,
you freeze up sometimes,
and then you feel like you got to balance your attention between all four boobs. I mean, it's not good.
Well, I feel like they need to balance more attention, all their attention on me, really.
Okay.
It's like,
I agree.
Fucking perfect. Martha Gerritsen.
Yeah, she was born.
You rub my shoulders. You see, for me, a three-way is,
are you goddamn you kidding rub me my right shoulders. Now? Are you goddamn kidding
me? You make
me
a sandwich. That's
I
what I'm saying.
I have to go to work
rub
later
my shoulders,
today.
Make me a sandwich.
I have to get ready before I go to work later today. I only have 3 hours before I have to be at work.
Oh, well,
and
you
you're
got,
yammering
well,
on about
you
this
get 2 hours
accidental
together.
Porno guy. I don't well, give a shit. I want to talk about Martha.
You know,
I no.
Okay,
I don't
we'll
know.
Get to Martha,
don't
but
care.
I'm just going to say this.
No.
If you
care.
Weren't such a damn heathen and would observe the Sabbath like the rest of us, this wouldn't be a problem.
Well, you know, I am
today's
not,
a holy day.
I am a heathen. Straight up heathen.
Godless heathen.
So I accept that criticism. However, we are...
I will pray for you.
However, we're a half hour into this son of a bitch and have just made it past the introduction. So I don't know why we have all these reviews that say, fucking talk too much before they get to the story. I mean, it's a goddamn mystery that we should get Scooby on. Can we talk about goddamn Martha Gerritsen?
Well, she was born in Orange, New Jersey, Brandy, in late 1854. She was born to a large family of a streetcar conductor and his wife. You know how those streetcar conductors be, Colonel?
Mm. His wife's
I wonder
name
if
was Desire.
The streetcar was Desire. Yeah, you know what? That was another one I got.
A colonel named Desire.
A colonel named Desire, Timmy.
Yeah, but
Stella!
That one
Stella!
That one goes in the humor section.
Martha was the middle of 10 children. Born to Abner and Rosetta Gerritsen. As a middle child, Martha desired attention from her father. Oh, good. She's got to be a stripper in her future.
She's got daddy issues. I can't believe you didn't date her.
I'm getting older now. It has to be like grandfather issues. But
well, right.
But no, I am happily married. But anyway. Martha desired attention of her father, but seldom received it. While her father often praised his daughters as a beautiful princesses, the nicest compliment he ever gave Martha was to say at times, Martha was plain looking, but industrious, Brandy. That's quite the compliment.
Well, there you go.
It's warm and fuzzy. Gives me the warm and fuzzies inside.
Mm-hmm.
Being denied her father's attention, Martha retreated into a fantasy world where she would dream of meeting her Prince Charming who would take her far, far away from New Jersey.
Everybody in New Jersey dreams that.
Martha did well in school, but had a very few friends. While her brothers and sisters were quite popular, teachers overlooked Martha on at least two occasions forgot that she was part of their class.
She is like Anne from Arrested Development.
She's Anne from Arrested Development.
Yep. Never know she's there. It's hilarious.
There were times when Martha tried to break out of her shell. She loved singing, and in the seventh grade, Martha tried out for the Glee Club. That did not go well, Colonel. Her audition was panned by the music teacher, claimed that Martha did not sing as much as she let out primal and almost medieval groans.
That's
just cruel to me.
Yeah, I mean, talk about crushing a kid. I mean, Jesus.
Well,
she could have said something kinder. She could have said, you know, singing might not be your thing. How about dancing in the background dressed as a tree? That could have been her thing.
No, she said she had a primal and almost medieval groan.
I don't know what that sounds like. Medieval groans, really?
I don't know, but Martha was crushed by this.
Sounded like it.
Martha was crushed by this assessment, and soon lost her passion for music.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, you would think.
Can't believe it.
Martha fell deeper and deeper into her fantasy world. She was waiting for her Prince Charming to come along. Then, when she was 14, Martha met a 37-year-old merchant marine who promised to take her to exotic lands.
You know, I want to know one merchant marine that has ever kept his promise to a woman.
Well, you know, Brandy.
You know why? You know why?
As you know, Brandy. Go ahead, Colonel. I'm sure we're on this.
You know why she's bitter about this, Timmy?
Yeah. Go ahead, Colonel.
Because Brandy, once met a man, and she fell deeply in love with him, Timmy. A seafaring man, a merchant marine. Yeah, perhaps.
His name was Lonnie. He was not a merchant marine.
No, and he said, "Brandy, you're a fine girl.
I know.
What a good wife you would be.
I know.
But my life, my love, and my lady, it's a sea."
How did it feel to get dumped up for
a
body of water?
He wasn't a merchant marine. What?
How did it feel to be dumped for a body of water?
You know, I've been worse.
Okay. Okay, but after this merchant marine had his way with Martha, I'll leave that to your imagination there, Brandy.
Okay.
He left town without leaving her his forwarding address.
I'm shocked, I say.
So she lost her virginity to this.
14 fucking years old.
She lost her virginity to this merchant marine. Martha then.
37.
Yeah. But his life, his love, his lady was a sea, apparently.
Was a sea. Well,
clearly, it was anything but Martha. Well, it
wasn't Martha, yeah.
Martha graduated high school. Her mother, now dead, and her father gravely ill, Martha supported the family by becoming a seamstress. It's good, honest work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The work was hard and the hours were long, but Martha did her share to support her father and younger brothers and sisters. When Martha was 23 years old, something occurred that would change Martha's life forever. On January 22nd, 1879, it was a cold winter day. Martha went sledding. I almost said Martha went shedding, but that would be a whole different thing.
That would
thing.
Be wrong.
Martha went sledding and had a terrible accident, Brandy. She was coming down a steep hill near her home. I'll try not to laugh when I say this. When the sled struck Martha in the head.
Overturned.
You know, why? When you're sledding,
you know it's one of those goddamn radio flyers. It's not one of those fucking disc things that we have now.
No.
I think radio
we had
flyers,
the death
though.
Machine.
I think that was a cart.
It was a wagon and a
hold
fucking
on, the radio
sled.
Flyer. Okay, what do we have? We had, damn it. Danny, look that up for me. We did
And I'm telling you, those things were dangerous. Those sleds that we bought when we were kids were really dangerous.
Yeah. Why? So why are you laughing about this bitch getting hit in the face?
I don't know. Well, you know, in Portsmouth, we didn't get a lot of snow, but, you know, every Christmas, you know, like one of my friends would get one of those sleds. I'm like, we don't get snow. Don't get much of it anyway. Anyway, there was she lost a lot of blood, Brandy, and for a short time suffered blindness in her right eye.
It was
eye.
The red flyer. Flexible flyer, Timmy.
Yeah.
It was the flexible flyer.
It was not a flexible in any shape, form, or fashion.
No, it was not.
Yeah, I mean, we sled downhill. There's some hills where I live by, man, you had if you fell off that thing, you had to get out of the way because.
Yeah, you did.
Well, yeah,
they were legal.
So did everybody on the hill.
Anyway,
looking at pictures of these things, Timmy.
Oh yeah,
and they are just two blades.
Oh yeah, and they're sharp.
A stack of wood on top of two blades.
Yeah,
with two blades on the front. They seriously look like. They could have been in a Mad Max movie.
Well, and here's the best part. Here's the best part is you tell your kids, go take the sled outside and play with
go
it.
Go take the sled
I
outside.
I mean, they could have
yeah.
slit somebody's throat with those things.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
They were dangerous. Anyway, she lost a lot of blood and for a short time suffered blindness in her right eye. Martha's brother later remarked that his sister never fully recovered from these injuries. She suffered painful headaches. She developed a chronic twitch and endured relentless insomnia after the accident. Oh, you know, that chronic twitch, you know, that gets a girl in trouble, Colonel, because they think...
I think
they're winking at him. She's winking at him.
She's in a bar. She's got that twitch. And then all of a sudden, you know, the guy's all... And, you know, she wasn't a handsome woman, Timmy.
No.
I've seen pictures of her, but...
What are you talking about?
It gets 2 a.m. and she's, you know, you're a little drunk and she's twitching at you.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking, whatever.
You know,
and she's known for her medieval grunts.
They would dance with her and grind their stiffy up on her leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, Martha's not the kind. I don't think after I don't think after her father and her music teacher, she's not carrying a whole lot of self-esteem around with her.
Probably not.
Plus, she got a big Frankenstein scar on the top of her head.
Well, and she developed mood swings.
She developed wild mood swings, Brandy. She saw her shy and retiring one moment, while uninhibited and outgoing the next. That's the one you want to get a few beers in.
That's the one you get, yeah.
Uninhibited one.
Uninhibited.
For the first time in her life, she began to display fits of rage. Kind of like the Brandy here, Colonel.
That's the one I want to have a beer with.
Yeah.
Sometimes over the smallest infractions. Perhaps going to Kroger's and they refuse to show you where the chicken breasts are.
That would be a small infraction that was fucking ridiculous.
Well, I just... The goddamn digital coupon.
Oh,
and
okay.
I told the girl. I said, you're standing right here at the goddamn counter and you can't crack the code on here. You work here. And you can't crack this enigma that is the digital coupon, and you expect me to do it.
God.
And you know what was so funny about that, devil?
I hope they
spit in your next day, the next day, Logan sent me a news article from the Dayton Daily News that Kroger was redoing their digital coupons because customers were having trouble and complaining about them.
Well,
the next day.
Yes,
you're part of a larger
I'm a social activist.
Turtle. You're part of a larger story. In 1881, at the age of 25, Martha married a local junk dealer. Now, there you go, Colonel. She's going from a merchant marine to a local junk dealer. Yeah, like Fred said. Only this guy's name was Rafer Jones.
Rafer!
Rafer.
Me
Rafer.
Rafer. Rafer Jones. Rafer Jones. Rafer Jones.
No.
Rafer.
Stop.
They had a thing.
Yeah, you know that guy has a lisp when he sings
God
that
damn
song.
It.
Mr. Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've offended people of all stripes today. Anyway, Rafer was a drunkard and was soon beating Martha on nearly a daily basis. You know, he would take
that guy.
Sundays off, I guess, but nearly a daily basis. The couple had a son, or as I written here in the script, they had a soon. But anyway, they had a son.
Soon.
But once Martha gave birth, Rafer left the family for good.
Oh, he's a stand-up guy.
Well, soon, Martha was forced to give up her newborn for adoption. Well, I mean, you know, Rafer had his own thing going on. He had his junk business, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
He had to, and back in that day, you couldn't just drive around in a pickup truck down the street, you know, picking up refrigerators and whatnot. You had to walk around, carry that heavy shit back to your junkyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a horse, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably didn't.
It wasn't
probably
easy. Wasn't
didn't,
he?
Probably didn't bathe regularly.
Oh, my God.
No, junking ain't easy.
Probably. But, you know, Martha needed a new start, didn't she?
She did. And she moved to Brooklyn, New York, to be near her favorite cousin. Although later it was learned that the cousin wanted nothing to do with Martha.
It happens.
Martha eventually found work as a housekeeper in Brooklyn, where she worked for a widower named William Place. Although Martha...
Well, Brooklyn reminds me of another one, Timmy. They sent me a script for A Colonel Grows in Brooklyn, Timmy.
I like that, Colonel. That's a catchy title.
It is. And Flowers for Colonel.
Oh, yeah. That was a good book. I had to read that in high school. By the way, let's say hello to Jody Wells. Jody has been a listener of ours for a very long time.
Hi, Jody. Bet you wish we'd get to the story.
Jody's a fine lady.
You know, though, Timmy, now Jody has a handsome husband,
mm-hmm.
beautiful kid,
uh-huh.
quite attractive herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's got pretty much the world by the balls, Timmy.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't think she warrants a shout out, Timmy. Because you know why?
What?
Because getting a shout out from us from everything Jody Wells has got is not going to mean anything to her, Timmy.
You don't think it would be significant for her?
Mm, no.
No, but Jody's been with us.
But let's give her a shout. She's a lovely woman.
Yes,
lovely
she's been with us almost since the beginning, I think.
She really has.
8 years she's listening to this shit, so she doesn't get a shout out.
She's one of the classy ones in the group, Timmy. And they're few and far between.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Martha found work as a housekeeper in Brooklyn, where she worked for a widower named William Place. Although the work included cooking and cleaning for William Place, it soon became clear that William expected sexual favors as well, which Martha, at least in the beginning, reluctantly provided.
No.
So she's moved from a housekeeper to a whore, basically, here, Colonel.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Although the relationship started out as a...
No.
Do you think he made her start wearing a little French maid outfit?
Oh, you know he did. She had to bend over and dust the table.
Yeah.
Although the relationship started out as a business arrangement, Martha had hopes it would turn into a romantic relationship, which it did more or less.
More or less, as long as there was, as long as money changed hands, yeah. It became a romantic relationship.
Yeah, of course. Brandy, tell us what happens next in this this love relationship.
Well, William needed a stepmother for his young daughter, and Martha, well, she was still looking for her Prince Charming, and she decided that Bill was it.
Well, I mean, he's self-sufficient. Yeah, he can support her.
Yeah.
So the two eventually... property in Brooklyn isn't cheap. He's probably paying $3,500 a month rent.
Yeah.
The two eventually married, making Martha the stepmother of William's young daughter, Ida. But marital bliss did not follow because Martha grew deeply jealous of her stepdaughter.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
Well, first of all, let's not act like anybody built up this woman's self-esteem for jack shit.
Well,
so,
come on. She twitches. She's got a big scar on her head.
I know. She's a handsome woman. So she felt that her husband loved his daughter more than he did her, and her jealousy rapidly changed into hatred for the little girl. The New York
Times
reported.
Now, see, I'm going to reframe this, devil. I'm going to reframe this.
I don't want to.
Because you know how I have a keen insight into the human nature.
No, I didn't want to reframe it. I just wanted to finish the fucking sentence.
Now, think about this.
That's all I want to do.
Think about this.
I don't want
to. Martha had to give up her child, right?
Right.
Yeah.
For adoption. Because Rafa, you know, left her high and dry. So she had to give up her child. So she comes into a household where there's another child that she's expected to raise, but it's not her own. So I imagine that she had deep, deep, deep anger issues, feeling like she should be raising her own child that she had to give up for adoption.
Well, you know, Colonel, that's very insightful.
Really,
thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Phil. I'm going to finish this sentence right quick. So the New York Times reported that during Martha Place's July 1898 murder trial, as the child grew into a pretty young woman and became more and more of a contrast to her, Martha's hatred began to take active form. Before long, Martha Place's resentment of Ida would devolve into violence.
Uh-oh.
On the morning of February 7th, 1898, an argument broke out.
It was a cold and snowy day.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't put that in the script.
No, I'm just adding to it.
An argument broke out at the Place home in Brooklyn. William and Martha had a terrific fight that morning, and Ida took her father's side. I don't know why Ida's taking anybody's side, but whatever. When William left for work, Martha turned her anger on her stepdaughter.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
That's not good.
Her daughter sided with him.
It got ugly over.
She usually did. And slammed in my face the door of her room when I went to speak to her. So she's a fucking teenager. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Martha told police, according to the New York Times, that made me feel mad. So sure. I got some acid on my husband's desk and threw it in her face.
Well,
seems a bit of an overreaction. Maybe.
Most men, for protection, will put a pistol in a desk.
Maybe.
For some reason, this psycho had acid in his desk.
Well,
what
just
the fuck
case.
Was he doing with acid in his desk?
Yeah. According to Martha, she then left Ida's room, but an autopsy later suggested that Martha continued the attack. While Ida writhed in pain, doctors suspected that Martha had heaped bedding upon Ida and smothered her.
Oh. Yeah, see, I'll do that.
Yeah, Martha knew how much Ida meant to her father. As soon as William Place knew Martha had killed his daughter, he would seek revenge on her. So Martha, thinking clearly, picked up an axe she found in the cellar and waited for her husband to come home.
Well, you know, you want to get in front of that shit.
Well, right.
Yeah, you do. You want to get on the offensive there.
Yeah.
Right. I was afraid he was going to attack me, she later told the police. I took the axe upstairs with me. My husband came in afterwards, and I struck him with it.
It will never cease to amaze me that people are surprised by getting struck by an axe.
William was thinking, you know, that's shit we had this morning, this fight. She's over it by now.
Oh, yeah. So Williams,
I mean, a hatchet or something like that, but an axe takes both hands and you can't hide it behind your back.
It's hard to,
you know,
yeah.
you come in and a woman's holding an axe.
The
woman that you're married to is holding an axe. It seems like you should be a little bit more on your toes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You don't just sit down and say, hi, dear, open up the paper.
Well,
hi, dear, how was your day?
She knew he was going to be pissed because she took his acid.
Well, and that's right, she did.
She should have just filled it up with water like we did as kids.
Yeah.
Well, so William stumbled onto the street, bloodied and crying for help.
And he's Martha, like, what the fuck?
I know. Martha ran into the kitchen and tried to kill herself by turning on the gas. Instead, the police arrived and arrested her.
Yeah, see, if you want to commit suicide because the cops are coming to arrest you, I mean, don't use gas. I mean, it's kind of slow.
Well, it's kind of that process. Well, that
it's the slower way.
It is the slower way, unless you're going to light a
match.
I mean,
if she was really committed, right? Light the match. Get the gas going real good, then light the match.
Yeah, so I mean, Sylvia Plath did that, and she put her head in the oven and turned it on. But I really think you need to do something a little
different. I think Sylvia Plath didn't she get a no? I think she had a.
She just wanted attention.
I think. Well, maybe I've got them mixed up, but I think Sylvia Plath had a scarf on, and it got caught in the tire of her car. Danny looked at her.
Yeah,
for
that's
me.
A different person. That was I knew you were talking about though. Yeah, she got the car, a tire stuck in the car. She was in a convertible.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to look it up.
So that July, journalists swarmed Martha Place's sensational murder trial and reported on every detail. Her face is not pleasant, noted the World.
Oh,
the World
thank
is
you,
a
Danny.
Paper, was... not everybody in the world. She looks like a woman who spent most of her life fretting and worrying. This was before Botox, clearly. The New York Times additionally described Martha as being stoic and having the kind of face that reminds one of a rat.
Oh.
Their report...
She did look kind of feral.
Oh.
Isadora Duncan, Timmy. Danny
Isadora Duncan, that's it. Thank you.
Isadora Duncan got killed by the skull.
I was looking it up on Wikipedia. Unusual
The report noted that her face didn't change during the murder trial, except when William testified. Then her thin lips parted in a sardonic grin, and she fixed her eyes upon him.
Oh, my cat does that to me It's not good.
Yeah, well.
But does your cat have an axe in its hand?
Not yet.
But I wake up and he's like looking at me.
Jesus. At the end of her trial, Martha Place was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to death. Her counsel soon reached out to the new governor of New York, Theodore Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Having,
yep, in hopes of having her sentence commuted, but Roosevelt refused. My sympathies in criminal cases are for the wronged and not the wrongdoer, he told reporters.
What's your reaction to that, Colonel?
Well, he looked over her case and said, "Bully shit! Fry ass!"
Martha's trial had been a sensational enough, but her sentence was even more so.
You know, every script I write, I'm going to try to get something in there about
Teddy Roosevelt in there.
Okay.
So the Colonel can say...
No.
What does he say, Colonel?
He assures you. After all, the electric chair was still a relatively new method of execution. Until her sentencing,
eight years, and that shit still makes me laugh.
God. By 1899, the electric chair had been used for 11 executions in New York State. All of the condemned had been men, starting with the convicted murderer, William Kimmler. His execution was on August 6, 1890, and it hadn't gone well. His executioner had to electrocute him twice before he died.
Now, see, after the first one, you should be freed. You know, like
after the first one, you should be a god.
Seems like it.
You
should have powers
to be electrocuted, and they did that. So he should be able to walk after the first time.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's going to be able to walk after
episode on this William Kimmler. Sounds like funny as hell.
Yeah.
Since the electric chair had never been used on a woman, Martha Place allegedly believed she would be spared at the last minute. She was shocked when Roosevelt refused to commute her sentence.
In more ways than one.
But arose on the morning of her execution reasonably composed, according to newspaper reports.
She was shocked when who refused to commute the sentence? Roosevelt, you say?
Ronald Reagan. On March 20th, 1899, she donned a black dress she'd made herself and made her way to the execution room. There, Place's gender created some obstacles for her executioners. Her thick, graying hair had to be clipped so the electrodes could be placed on her forehead, and her long skirt was slit so that the electrodes could be placed on her ankles without exposing them.
Oh, but you know, that's a nice look.
That's what
that
she's concerned about.
And that split dress. Kind of sexy. Ugh.
Same. Yeah. With. Do you know how many people I see, like, at my store wearing an ankle monitor? A surprisingly lot amount of people that come through. And I'm like, what is that? Oh, an ankle monitor. So I don't, whatever.
I've dated women wearing ankle monitors.
I'm glad I was sitting down for that revelation. Yeah. Strapped into place.
You've never been on an ankle monitor.
You know what I
yourself,
do, Colonel? I stand outside the door. And I'd say, teaser, you know, like,
oh God,
you can't come get me.
Hold it.
Yeah. I make
hold
a mad.
Big box.
I just go outside and
what are
threshold.
Those Whitmans? Oh, get a big box of those Whitmans hot chocolates.
Uh-huh.
Good
come
Lord.
Come on out onto the sidewalk. Here you go. Here you go.
Strapped into place, Martha uttered her last words. God help me. Then her executioner sent 1,760 volts of electricity through her body. Seconds later, Martha Place was dead at the age of 49.
Well,
Martha
good
may
riddance,
have been.
I
say. Well, Martha may have been the first woman to die by the electric chair, but she certainly wouldn't be the last. As time went on, it proved to be a popular method of execution in the United States. Of nearly 8,800 executions that took place between 1890 and 2010, 4,374 took place in the electric chair, according to a 2014 study. Dwarfing other methods. As such, Martha Place is more than just the Brooklyn murderess, the woman found guilty of killing her teenage stepdaughter in a fit of rage and jealousy. As the first woman to die in the electric chair, she also makes up an important part of the history of capital punishment in the United States.
Wow, see, she's
a
trailblazer.
Yeah,
she was
blazing at the end for sure.
She was basically the Ketanji Brown Jackson of murders.
Yeah.
I don't think that's it. I don't think so.
Yeah. She was the Madeleine Albright of murderers.
Yes.
Madeleine Albright of murderers. Wow. Yeah,
Madeleine Albright. Now, that was a handsome
She was. Let me say. I dare say she was the Aretha Franklin.
No, I don't think she is. The Aretha Franklin. All these, will you stop?
Think what you do to me. Yeah, you need to think.
Aretha Franklin was the first woman put into the Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, we went to the Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago, and Leanne was not happy because Meatloaf is not in the Hall of Fame. But Taylor Swift is there.
Taylor Swift.
Don't you think Meatloaf should be there? Seriously, Meatloaf should be in the Hall of Fame, right?
You'd think so.
I would think so. He sold an awful lot of records.
Mm. We would like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon.
She was the Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, my God.
The Iron Lady.
So.
Iron Lady.
So I, actually, before I assume you're going to read the Patreon, I have to bounce. So I want
okay,
to make
well,
sure.
Okay, well, let's get your final thoughts, Brandy, on Martha Place, the Brooklyn murderess.
Now that we got through her story, I mean, there was a lot going on, but she was a shit human, so that's fine.
Okay. Send your file to Thaddeus.
Of course.
Would you say there was a lot going on at the place that day?
At the place. Yeah. Yes. I mean, first of all, I mean, she looked like a rat. She has thin, villainous lips.
She had a little feral look to her, right?
She doesn't sing. She caterwauls. I mean,
and she's got a scar on her face.
She's industrious. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Big old scar.
This girl just didn't have a chance.
Yeah, but so, you know, it doesn't look give like her a right to face. Throw acid.
No, no, no. It doesn't give her a right to be a shit human being. That's why I don't
but
feel
I'm
bad.
But I'm just
going to
say this. Ladies, as long as you got boobies and a vagina, you got a chance.
Yeah.
You got a chance.
You really do.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I will talk to you guys next week. And
have a lovely day breaking the Lord's commandment.
I will. Thank you so much for that.
Have a good day, Brandy. We'll see
talk
you.
To you guys.
We'll see you next Sunday.
Queen Brandy has left the building.
Okay, so we would like to thank all those who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or what can it be?
Just a wee little bit to me. Yeah. Just a wee little bit.
Let's thank our listeners. Colonel, you want to do it? You want me to do it?
I can do it. We got Christina Hallmeyer.
Yeah, she's a new support, Patreon supporter. So thank you, Christina. We really appreciate it.
Stevie has
generously increased his or her donation to the podcast. So thank you, Stevie.
Thank you, Stevie. We appreciate that. One of my favorite dweebs, and she was at DweebCon this year, Timmy. Liz Lawrence.
Yeah,
Elizabeth
Liz
Lawrence.
Down there in New Orleans.
Down in New Orleans.
She had submitted a topic for us to suggestion for us.
Oh, possibly. Did she?
Yeah, so we're going
to
look at that.
Well, we're going to have to do
yes,
that.
Yes, a great Kim Purple and Baby Sam.
Oh, okay. I'm in on that, Timmy.
Okay.
Let's see. We got Kim Purple and Baby Sam, Stevie Smiles, Emily, Alan Cox, Aaron Kokomola.
Who's traveling all over the place, Alan Cox.
Alan is?
Yeah, he's all over the place.
We got Aaron Kokomola, who is getting no sleep with that new baby. Rachel Goss, Anna Kaufman, Shelby Pelegi, Robert Benefield, Gina Green, Andrea Louise Sedones, Tessie Alacrampour, Buffy, Danielle Townsend, Marianne Knight, The Already Gone Podcast.
With our good
Timmy.
Friend Nina.
Our good friend Nina. Amber Anderson. Ben Derbovich. The Bloody Murder Podcast. Timmy. Bridget Bernard. Cassie Kitchens. Kylie Jones, Christy Lee, and the Canadian True Crime one.
Yeah, yeah. They're all over in London now, like Charlie, and I don't know if Christy Lee is over there, but they got Crime Con in London this week.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I can't go to Britain, Timmy.
Are you not allowed in the country?
Not allowed. Mm-hmm. Not allowed. It was back in the day, little spat with Margaret Thatcher, Timmy.
I see. Well, you know, I'm going over.
And they still haven't forgiven me.
I'm going to teach English as a second language over there, so that they know.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, it's not garage. It's garage.
It's not lorry. It's a goddamn truck.
It's not a truck, goddamn it. It's a hood. It's not.
It's a hat.
It's a trunk.
It's a trunk boot.
Yeah.
Boot.
And yeah. It's not mass. It's math.
Maths.
Yeah.
I mean, maths. What the hell?
I don't know.
Like they're from a different planet,
well,
Timmy.
That's why I'm going over there.
Let's see. Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Cheryl LeBlanc, Erica Kinney and Aaron Turner, Marsha Boris, Jake Cleveland Payne, one of our favorites, really kind of the de facto leader of the dweebs, is Jamie Dent.
Yeah.
Hiro, Jason Dykes, Jeff and Don Chestnut. Jeff got a really nasty bee sting. We hope you're healing up good, Jeff.
Jamie just had a birthday. Jamie Dent just had a birthday. So happy birthday, Jamie.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday. Jennifer Orcutt, Jennifer Svoda, Jess, Kelly Charette, Kim Stroop, Christine Malachinsky, Laura O'Reilly, Marsha Boris, Marie, Mary Courtney Sheldon, Michelle Johns, and her little puppy. Cutest little thing you ever seen.
She had just got back from, her and her sister just got back from
New Zealand.
New Zealand, visiting our friend Jessica Ann down there. And
can't believe that they
Michelle Johns and her sister, girl. Now think about this. Michelle Johns has a sister, and they're both coming to DweebCon. Think about that for
and
a minute.
Her,
let that sink
I'm,
in.
I'm just going to say her sister's a little smoking, Timmy.
Yes. So is Michelle. So we're going to have...
So is Michelle. So I'm looking forward to seeing both of them, Timmy.
Let's
see. Michelle Johns, Paula Kimes, Sarah Bloom, who just checked in with us, who we'd missed for a while. Sue Van Hook, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strap, Stephen Potts, Terry Stratford. They walk among us. One of the finest podcasts in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Tyrone, Todd Long, Tommy Lane, and Tracy Smith, Timmy.
A wonderful list. Thank you all for supporting us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can keep this fine podcast going. We are at...
Well, basically, all of our Patreon allows us to do the DweebCon events for free.
Yes,
and
yes. Speaking of which, really DweebCon's coming up in September. If you would like more information on how you can attend, just go to our Facebook page, the Fans of the History Dweebs podcast, and you get all the details. History Dweebs will be back. We'll have DweebCon Live, and like the Colonel says, we host this, and we do it, we rent a theater, and we don't charge anything for admission because you guys give so generously during the whole year, so it's a fun time. Plus, you'll get to meet Michelle Johns and her hot sister.
And her sister.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
Colonel,
right, Timmy.
Any final thoughts, Colonel?
No, Timmy, I want to thank Martha Place for,
being a trailblazer.
Taking a, trailblazer, moving women forward another step in their direction. But it's still, again, this is just some life advice. When you walk into the house, and, you know, Timmy, you're married now, so, you know, it's advice all married men should have. When your spouse is holding the axe,
yes,
Timmy, and you don't have a fireplace, you probably want to be a little more alert than you usually are, Timmy.
That's good advice.
Just a wee bit.
That's good. That's good advice.
Yeah, because so many axe murders can be prevented.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look at New Orleans with the Axe Man. Remember that episode we did?
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Right.
Don't leave your axe violence. Don't leave your axe on the front porch. Just don't do it.
No. And this is, in the United States, we really need some axe regulation, Timmy.
We really do. You can have my axe when you take it from my cold
hands. Because you got to hold it with two.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us.
Timmy.
And we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day. See ya.
Are you goddamn kidding me right now? Are you goddamn kidding me?
That's only $6 a penis, though.
Stella! Stella!
I mean, it's a goddamn mystery that we should get Scooby on.
Hello!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.